Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, February 16th, 2015. And with me today, I have my data and fact collecting crew. Brian Chaffin, how are you?
I am doing very well.
Awesome. Glad to have you here. And Kelly Gumont, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. And it really is awesome to have both you guys here with me today. I absolutely love it. Also, we have a sponsor this week, lynda.com. So I'm excited. We'll be talking about them shortly. But first, I thought we could kind of loop back to something we hit before, but it seems to have grown, taken on a life of its own. And this, Brian, is this whole thing with an Apple Car. And for people that don't know what I'm talking about, well, then you've been on vacation for a week, and welcome back. So news started coming out that Apple is working on some sort of car. And Brian was able to get information that backs all this up. And since then, it's just kind of really snowballed.
Well, since then, the mainstream investigative journalism outlets, Reuters and the Wall Street Journal, what was the other piece from Friday?
Was it Financial Times?
The Financial Times, thank you. The Financial Times of London. All three heavy hitters in terms of doing actual investigative journalism and ferreting stuff out. They all came out with their own independent stories. Utterly confirming that Apple is making a car, is working on a car. I mean, just like, if you doubt that Apple is making a car at this point, you need to stop doing that because you're doing it wrong. Apple is working on a car. It is possible that Apple will not release a car. It is possible that Apple will get to a point and it's like, this is just too hard, or, you know, we don't want to do this, or we can't bring enough to the market, or we can't control a key technology, right? We know that that's one of Apple's things that they must control.
There's tons of reasons why. Like, I'm absolutely sure that there are so many things that we've seen that there are, you know, hundreds of variations on a theme that no one ever sees. The example I always use is different sizes of MacBook Air, or MacBook Airs that have built-in cell radios so that they can have their own internet access wherever they are. I'm sure all of those sorts of things exist in some form or another because Apple worked on it to a point where it was a functioning device, and yet for whatever reason, it was never the thing that made it out to everybody. So yeah. It's interesting that they're doing it, but it's not novel that Apple is working on something that we may never see.
Yeah, but we're going to see this one. This has got too much. I think this has reached that level past which Apple almost always comes to market.
And the reason we know this is because it's being now reported that it has graduated to code name status.
Well, everything's got a code name.
Well, now it's got a code name. It's a thing, right?
The Wall Street Journal reported that Apple's got 1,000 people working on this, which is pretty specific. Reuters actually kind of focused on the self-driving element. I want to put the kibosh on that right now, in that there's no way Apple is coming out with that its first product is going to be an autonomous self-driving car. There's just not enough places in the U.S., let alone the rest of the world, where that's legal. Apple is going to do an electric car first, and will also be working on autonomous self-driving cars, just like Google is doing all the while. But the first product is going to end up being an electric car. This is entirely logic-based, not leak-based. But I'm 100% on that.
Well, what if it was an electric guitar. Wow. Electric.
That's
car.
How you start a rumor, everybody.
Yeah, Apple's working on an electric guitar. You heard it here first. Anyhow, an electric car that, instead of being self-driving, had a lot of advanced driver assist features. So, like, if you're getting too close, it it intelligently slows you down and gives you an alert. You need to parallel park. It does the parallel parking for you, that sort of stuff. And those things that I just tossed out, these are not brand new. There are companies that already make cars that do those things.
Yeah, it's true.
So, you know, maybe Apple's working on something like that.
One would think that Apple would do that sort of thing. I mean, you know, we know that when Apple enters a new market, it does so if it thinks it can disrupt that market. I think we talked before about the fact that the automobile is as ripe for disruption as any industry on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And
indeed.
So we know that the market is set for it, and we know that if Apple's going to enter that market, it's going to be doing something that that no one else is doing. They're not just going to release a better looking Tesla. I mean, Tesla right now is one of the most fascinating companies on the planet. They're doing.
That'd
a
be
lot
hard
of
to
things.
Do. I'm sorry. I'm right. Thinking about Teslas now.
Yeah, Tesla makes a good looking car, but you know, Apple's pretty much king of industrial design. But that's not gonna be the thing that Apple has to disrupt this market. It's gonna be some sort of technology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. And yeah. Otherwise, why would they go into the market?
Well, I'm also that's true. But I'm also sort of fond of the idea that this is sort of an extension of the environmental stuff that they're doing. Because let's be honest, if whatever they make, first of all. Apple already makes high-ticket items, high-price tag items. You can trick out a Mac Pro to cost what a reasonable car would cost.
Reasonable car? A reasonable used car, maybe. You could spend $20,000 on the Mac Pro.
Yeah. You can get a Subaru Outback for $20,000 with some options on it.
Yeah, you're not spending $20,000 on a Mac Pro. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm quibbling. You're not over the semantics.
No, you can do like 12 to 15.
Mac Pro easily, okay. But you're not spending.
So I will borrow from Top Gear, a reasonably priced car. Okay, you can get like a brand new Kia for what you can trick out a Mac Pro for. It may not be high end, Kia, you know.
But yes,
right. But you know, you can get a car for that amount of money. So it's not like they're not accustomed to charging a lot of money to get for something. But For me, the appeal of this idea is that maybe Apple wants to make an electric car because they're kind of at the point where they know that lots of people will be interested in an electric car if Apple makes one, where that may, you know, where like I have a whole lot of interest in a Tesla. What I don't have is $100,000.
So there's no way Apple's entering at the bottom end of the market.
But they're not, I know they're not going to enter at the bottom, but they're probably not going to enter at the top. And if they're going to be able to do something that's going to have enough drive and enough interest, I mean, look at Apple Pay. Like, we see commercials for Apple Pay now. And Apple Pay at this moment is only available on a phone that has been available for like 4 months. Only on that particular model of phone, the two that came out 4 months ago. That's the only phone that does Apple Pay. And already, MasterCard has commercials for it. Chase has commercials for it. You know, people all over the place are hassling their banks about, are you going to be able to let me support this? You know, and all the way down the line, we're organizing boycotts because CVS turned off all the contactless payment altogether. So I sort of like the idea that one of the reasons Apple is doing this is to sort of force adoption of an alternative form of transportation, which would be a car that doesn't run on gas.
So, Brian, there's one thing that I'm really curious to get your take on, and this goes back to, and I'm paraphrasing very liberally here, where Steve Jobs once said that you should do one thing and do it well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see this as Apple diversifying too much and potentially setting themselves up for a failure? Not because they're incapable of making a car, but because they're moving out of their core area.
Well, you got to figure that every time Apple makes a new product, it's putting its best people on it, which means that those best people aren't working on its existing products. This may be why we felt some growing pains with iOS and Yosemite. In particular, Yosemite not being as stable as it needs to be, with a couple features not working quite like they should. I mean, we're getting a lot of grumbling to Apple fans right now about the state of Apple's Mac software in particular, and to a lesser extent, its iPhone software. And it might be because the best people are working on other things. Or who knows what other products are in the pipeline. That said, talk about Apple diversifying. We're talking about Apple diversifying into what is essentially a fifth product line. And that's only assuming you want to not lump in iPads with iPhones. I mean, yeah, it's diversification for Apple, but it's not diversification for any other company. I mean, Apple getting spread, like next year, Apple is going to release an entire suite of kitchen products, connected refrigerator, connected toasters, connected blenders,
a toaster
connected
fridge.
Toaster fridges,
connected toaster fridges. And, and at the same time, Apple is also going to, start making, you know, six different home automated products. And I mean, you know, really, we're still talking about a company that is not ridiculously bad, but ridiculously focused in terms of what it makes.
That's true. Yeah, I see Apple as having three hardware categories right now. They have computers, they have mobile, and they have wearables. And wearables hasn't even come out yet.
Right.
Yeah. So now it looks like we're going to have drivables, and we're talking about having drive. I mean, you know. 3 or 4 years. My guess would be 3 or 4 years.
I was going to go with 5 years, but Apple's fast, so maybe 3 or 4 years is good.
Yeah, it certainly could be five. I think John Martellaro was estimating, I don't know, 7 to 10 or something ridiculous like that. I mean, he's mm-hmm. just completely wrong. I love you, John. I think 3 or 4 years is actually pretty reasonable. Tesla got up and off the ground pretty fast. And Apple's got a lot more resources.
That's true. Yeah, Apple has a lot of resources. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. Maybe we're seeing Apple spread a little bit thin here. But I think the company can handle it. I mean, I think we're going to continue to have more growing pains. But the reality is, you know, how much would some of these top people, if they didn't have new projects to put their energies into, how many of them would have gone off and done their own thing or gone to work for another company?
Exactly. They'd have new offices someplace else.
Yeah, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are going to stay at Apple, but some of them probably wouldn't. So, I mean, I think growing pains, you know, whenever you collect as many top people as Apple is, and quite frankly, as Tesla is, and as Google is, Facebook maybe, I don't know. I don't know about that one. But you're gonna have some quality issues in existing products when those people start working on other new products. I think, unfortunately, that's a little bit of inevitable. Hopefully, Apple can get OS 10 back where we want it for sure.
And I think
I think it is likely that Apple is hearing our complaints and is probably focused on actually fixing them. But yeah, I don't know. Not too thin. I guess that's my bottom line. I don't think Apple's spreading itself too thin. It's a good question, though. It's a really good question.
Yeah, and I guess in the end we'll see if they're spreading themselves too thin, because, well, time will tell.
Know that the mm-hmm. team that's running this, according to the Wall Street Journal, the team that's running this this 1,000-person development group are some of the top. So will that have an effect on the iPhone? It could.
Sure. Yeah. But then again, Apple's been hiring a lot of people for this project. Mm-hmm. So they may not have to spread too thin for their existing platforms.
Maybe not. One of the interesting things, by the way, I think it was the Wall Street Journal that pointed this out. I'm almost positive it was the Journal. That you remember when Mark Newsom Mm-hmm. And that Mark Newsom is Johnny Ives' buddy.
Right. I just finished reading the New Yorker piece. They're basically besties.
Yeah, they're besties.
Yes.
At the time, we didn't necessarily there was speculation on what Mark could be working on. But one of the things that Mark loves is cars, and one of the things that he has done is design a concept car for Ford.
Right.
So I think that this story, this whole car story, puts Mark Newsom's hiring in a completely different light.
I agree with you. Yeah. I think we know exactly what project Mark is working on.
Yep.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah, the question is Johnny Ive being spread too thin. That's the question.
Yeah, because he's software and hardware. And that was one of the things I wondered about with the watch was, given how much time he had to spend on that, on both sides of it, if that was part of why some of the software stuff started to slip a little. Because he's basically in charge of both software and hardware now when it comes to iOS and macOS. So
yeah,
well, I thought that was sort of interesting to, you know, to look at it that way. Like, that doesn't mean it's right, but it makes things a lot – it makes what's happening with particularly with macOS right now a lot more understandable. Like, I get it now. The people who are supposed to be primarily focused on that maybe have been focusing on some other things lately. And so not all of the stuff they would normally see if they were at it 100% all of the time. You know, some of that stuff made it out without getting as good a look as it would have otherwise. So that makes a lot of sense.
Sure. And I'm betting going forward we'll see less of those types of problems because we did have to go through a transition period.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of what we're seeing now was being developed during that transition period.
Right.
So everyone learned a lot of important lessons. We have new people coming in to help out with stuff. Mm-hmm. And what I'm hoping is that means that as Apple pushes into new markets, like cars, mm-hmm. that we won't see suffering in the platforms that we already have, like
right.
the iPhone and iOS 8 and OS 10.
I think we maxed people out, and when you figure out and I think they learned the hard way what everybody's maximum bandwidth is.
Well, and Apple's a smart company, so mm-hmm. so I think that they're taking that into account.
Absolutely.
And speaking of smart, we have a sponsor today.
Woo!
Yes, and they nice want segue. You to be smart. Oh, thank you, Brian. Yeah. Our sponsor today is lynda.com, and that's lynda.com, and they offer online training classes, and you can go there and learn pretty much anything you want. They have classes for designers and for coders, for people that want to improve their business skills. And like right now, you can go and learn how to set up a mobile office and just take your computer and work from anywhere in the world. You can learn Swift programming. You can. It's just amazing that the classes they have that are taught by top experts in whatever field that is. And the way they have the classes structured, it's really nice because instead of having to sit down at your computer and just watch hours and hours of someone speaking to you, everything's broken up into digestible chunks so that you can learn a key thing and then watch the next little video where you learn the next key thing. Mm-hmm. And so you can go through and learn in the order you want because you don't have to watch things in chronological order if you don't want to. Watch them in the order that makes sense to you for the stuff that you need to learn. And they want to make sure that all of us are learning more and have better job skills and are more capable to do whatever it is that we want to do in life throughout the year. So they're offering all of our listeners a 10-day free trial, which I think is fantastic.
Indeed.
So, yeah, so you can go and watch as many courses as you want during those 10 days. So like lots of caffeine, don't sleep. Just just learn for 10 days straight. And to take advantage of that 10-day free trial, all you need to do is go to lynda.com/TDO. So that's lynda.com/TDO. And start making yourself smarter, like today. And thank you to Lynda for being our sponsor.
One of the things I want to emphasize about Lynda really quick is that a lot of times when you hear about a website that offers classes. A lot of what they're offering is more computer classes, different kinds of programming, or learning how to use different applications on your computer, or how to build a website you look at on your computer. And with Lynda, they have a lot of stuff that is completely offline. They will teach you all kinds of other stuff that isn't necessarily about, you know, learning more ways to spend more time chained to your laptop. So that's one of the things that's great about them is they really have a wide variety of stuff. So you may not think it's for you, like, oh, another learning website that wants to teach me Swift. Like, yeah, they want to do that, but they also have so many other things. That's not the main point of their site. And I love that that's one of the things that they do is they'll teach you all kinds of other stuff too.
Which is absolutely awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Lynda, for being our sponsor. Hey, we are like out of time, but I'm going to take us over a couple minutes. And that's
before you do that, I'm going to take us over even further and just let everyone know that I'm fine. I'm not sick. There was a particularly epic karaoke event this weekend of which I was part. And sometimes when you rock a little hard, you show signs of it for a day or two afterwards. So I just want to let everybody know I'm not sick. I'm totally okay. I just sound a little rough around the edges. That's it.
Yeah, but what a trooper. You sang your heart out, and here you are podcasting your heart out today, and I do appreciate that.
Of course.
So before we go, I just wanted to mention real quick that Apple has a new employee coming on board, and that employee is Zane Lowe. Now, in the United States, his name isn't that well known, but in the UK, he's a big thing because
he's a very big deal.
Yeah, BBC Radio 1, that's where he's a DJ, and mm-hmm. he's been a big part of a lot of different artists as they've risen in fame, and their careers have really taken off. And he's very connected in the music industry, and he's going mm-hmm. to start working for Apple probably in March. And mm-hmm. and so mm-hmm. I wanted to point that out so people know. And real quick, I'm just curious what you guys think he's going to be doing once he gets on board with Apple.
Well, I actually do know some of who he is because I have listened to this series that he does. Normally, he's on Radio 1 in the evening for a few hours, like Monday through Thursday, 7 to 9 or something, 7 to 10. And he plays all kinds of stuff, but he also does interviews with people. And he sometimes is able to get an interview no one else can get, which is part of what makes him a notable person. He's built these relationships and has an amazing Rolodex. He has this series called Masterpieces. And like once a month, I think they air one. And they do a bunch of them. Like I think it's once a week for a month. And it's a two-piece show. So the first part of the show is talking to the band about the album, you know, other people talking about the album, sort of exploring what that album has meant to the world since its release. And then the second half of the show is the album. So, like, he did one about Nirvana. He's done Led Zeppelin. And here's the thing is that, like, the knowledge that he has of this stuff is deep. Like, off the top of my head, the ones that I remember being particularly notable, Nirvana, Led Zeppelin, Public Enemy. He did Pink Floyd and Daft Punk and Amy Winehouse. Like, he has a really wide variety of these, and they're great. I really like checking them out. And I know that he also does some stuff. I want to say it's one of the festivals in Ibiza. Like, he has a hand in helping select, and he does some DJ gigs around the world. So he's an interesting guy, and I think that if you put him together with Jimmy Iovine, that is an unstoppable combination, whatever it is that Apple wants to do. If they're going to build a record label, these are the two guys you want to do it. And if all they're doing is really amping up beats, then like everyone else should just take their thumbs ups and thumbs downs and streamings and go home. Because these two guys could totally crush it with exclusivity.
Yeah, I'm thinking that that Zane's involvement in Apple is a very clear indicator that Apple wants to have a very strong position in the streaming music market.
They think, yeah, at the moment, I think they're really taking the stance that music is serious business and they really are not screwing around, and they're going to lay it down, and whatever comes out of this is going to be impressive, whichever way it goes.
That's my guess. We're like really out of time. Brian, did you have anything you wanted to add before I wrap us up?
No, I was having both sirens and connection issues, so I kept my mouth shut.
All right. Well, okay. Well, thank you for being able to participate in the car part, and Kelly, thank you for being able to participate in the music part. I will work on my diction, and hopefully that will be better for tomorrow. And thank you to lynda.com for being our sponsor this week. Go to their site, lynda.com/TDO. Get yourself 10 days of free training. And thank you to both of you for joining me today.
Of course.
And then thanks to all of our listeners for being here yet again. We will see everyone again tomorrow.